Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, the Garda Commissioner has insisted that Gardaí were not heavy-handed in policing anti-lockdown protests in Dublin yesterday. 11 people were arrested during the clashes and 9 have since been charged. In a moment, we'll speak to an expert on terrorism and policing. But first, let's hear from Drew Harris, speaking to RTE's crime correspondent Paul Reynolds earlier today.
With these protests, there is no organiser. What we see is covert arranging of protests. We see intelligence which tells us what their intentions are. Their intentions appear to be to disrupt the port, to disrupt the activity of the government, to disrupt government departments, and that can't be tolerated. So we've no one to negotiate with, and their actual protest outcomes are not lawful purposes for their activity. And these groups have shown a propensity to violence. And in the end, last night, we were using public order legislation to prevent, actually, what would have been a very frightening stampede up Grafton Street. And that's a tight enough pedestrian street, and that can't be allowed to happen either. So there was no heavy-handedness on our part.
Tell us what groups you're talking about. You refer to groups. Who are these people that are protesting?
Well, they are a mix of groups with extremist views. And I have difficulty telling them apart because they all seem to have very much the same views. They do vary in some areas, but you do see amongst some of those groups, they follow the Great Replacement Theory, which is a far-right theory which is very popular on the internet and within closed groups on the internet.
And that was the Garda Commissioner speaking earlier today. Well, I've been speaking to Dr. Natasha Drummy, who is a specialist in international terrorism at UCC, and she's been putting last night's protests into context.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is this kind of shift towards the right, this idea that we're being policed by the state and that COVID is being used as somehow this kind of scapegoat event. And what we're seeing is a lot of these kind of right-wing groups are feeding into a narrative of fear. So people are afraid that they're losing their civil liberties, their freedoms, and that we're going to be led into this police-led state. And I think what we've seen with these kind of demonstrations emerging is that we're seeing quite a rapid increase in support for these kind of narratives emerge in the Irish state. Mm. Previously, we felt that we were almost immune to this kind of right-wing extremist viewpoint. But because we've seen it globally, we've seen it with the US under Trump, we've seen it emerge in the UK with Brexit, in France under Le Pen, we're seeing a lot of this kind of extremist narrative become commonplace. And what we're seeing now is that it's feeding into the Irish fear that we're under this kind of, you know, government-led lockdown part two, this idea of introducing masks and fines and bans. And these groups are almost providing the basics for people to say, look, I am afraid and here's something that I can do to fight back against the system.
So things like, for example, anti-masks or anti-vaccines, things that people might have genuine fears about, you reckon some of these groups will use to entice people in. Is that how it works?
Yes, these groups build their whole portfolios on narrative and selling of narratives. And a lot of the times they're preying on the fears, the genuine fears that people have. So we're now coming into the space where things like anti-mask and anti-vaccines are making news headlines across the world, especially led again by the US. We're seeing this under Trump in the last 4 years. And it's almost become normalized language, though. And it's become almost a little bit more acceptable to have these viewpoints and share them more broadly across social media, you know, within your communities. And these groups are masters at preying on those kind of fears and building it into their political viewpoints. And examples like we've seen in Dublin with these marches, anti-mask, anti-vaccine marches.
So what do you do then, Natasha, if you want to try and tackle this? Because, as you say, a lot of this is based on genuine fear, or people who may be joining some of these protests is out of genuine fear. And maybe there's not a debate to be had about masks, but some people believe there is, for example, and similarly with vaccines. So where do you draw the line between freedom of speech, for example, and saying, well, actually, that's not okay.
This is one of the most difficult things that we're going to face in terms of reacting or dealing with these kind of right-wing viewpoints. The government is facing a very, very narrow tipping point in terms of how we address these issues. We need to make sure that we're not becoming that police state that these groups are kind of selling to their followers. But we do also need to react. So the thing would be allow freedom of speech, But at the same time, be aware that we do need to have some sort of mandate and control in terms of how far that speech can go before it becomes dangerous, before it incites violence. So the more we see large gatherings like what we've seen in Dublin, and I'm sure that they're going to spread across the entire country of Ireland, the more we have to be aware that we do need to deal with them. But at the same time, we can't be seen as a government or as a leadership to be completely suppressing the voice of the people, because that simply just provides these groups with more firepower as such to say, look, we told you the government is trying to control us now.
Yeah, because I don't know if you heard, but Paul Reynolds from RTÉ was asking Drew Harris, the Gardaí Commissioner, about all of this earlier today. And he was asking him why the Gardaí took physical action against the protesters yesterday in Grafton Street when they hadn't done so in other instances where protesters were engaging in objectionable behaviour or offensive behaviour. And Drew Harris was saying, well, that it's because it was offensive behaviour, but it wasn't breaking the laws, is what they were doing before now. And I'm just wondering if you think we've got the balance right up to now, because we're seeing more and more of these protests, aren't we?
We are seeing more and more, and sadly we're going to continue to see more and more of these protests happening. The Gardaí, again, they're on a very, very dangerous path. There is justification for heavy-handed reactions to certain instances. And maybe, look, what we saw yesterday could be an example of that. But at the same time, they have to play their cards so, so carefully, because the more they use aggressive tactics towards these groups, the more these groups then see it as a legitimisation of their counter-reaction to the heavy-handed nature of the Gardaí. And because these groups are selling real fears about health, safety, society, culture, they're tangible things that we can see. And the Gardaí need to be able to kind of take the viewpoint that force should only be used when necessary and when relevant. If we start moving towards a heavy-handed response every time, it's simply going to feed into the narrative of the groups and cause more and more aggressive reactions from them as well.
The Gardaí Commissioner also mentioned today the great replacement theory when he was referring to some of the theories that are expounded by these groups. What is the great replacement theory?
The great replacement theory is something that these groups tend to hang on to. And now they all have their own understanding and interpretation of this theory. Essentially, it's about we are losing who we are and we're being replaced as a culture, as a people, as a nation. And what these groups tend to do is they want to bring us back to the good old times, we'll say. So if you look at Trump's mandate of make America great again, we have Brexit, making Britain great again. It's feeding into this narrative of we've lost who we are in society, in the world, and we need to revert back to when Ireland was Irish. So we see things, narratives emerge. We've all heard the mandates of foreigners are taking all of our jobs. These are all fears that people have. And this theory builds on that and says, in order for us to revert back to where we need to be as Irish people, for example, we need to go back to a time before all of these changes took place. Immigration, you know, foreigners coming in, different religions. So it's about kind of almost clarifying the nation back to their ideal version of what Ireland should actually look like.
In terms of where we can expect to see the protests, or whether we can expect to see more of them, what would be your view on that, Natasha? It's been confined to Dublin, I think, so far.
Well, I think we're seeing little pockets of resistance emerge across the country, not as overt as what we saw in Dublin, but it's only a matter of time. Look, social media is a big aspect of this as well. So the more we see these things happen within the country, the more normalised they become. So I don't think it's going to be that long until we see protests perhaps in Cork and Galway, in places that are being directly impacted heavily by the restrictions, especially of COVID at the moment.
And that was Dr. Natasha Drummy, specialist in international terrorism at UCC, speaking to me a little bit earlier. And lots of you texting in relation to this already. John says the demonstrations are nothing but vandalism and thuggery. Another person, though, says, stop labelling concerned citizens as far right. We are all in this together, remember?
Yeah, there are other listeners listening to Natasha, and one says the Gardaí should be commended for their action yesterday. The protests should be taken off the streets in the middle of a pandemic. Well done to the Gardaí. The Gardaí should not be put in this situation by the protesters who are only out to cause trouble, says that listener.
Yeah, and one other text on this for the moment. Somebody says, Sarah, does freedom of speech give these people the right to harass the wife of the murdered Garda? That's the wife of Adrian Donoghue, from the steps of the court. And I suppose that is the question. Where is the balance? When does offensive become something that is against the law? And that's what Drew Harris was talking about earlier. We do appreciate your text and your thoughts on this. You can text us at 51551.